Reports say Ghislaine Maxwell has videos of higher-ups in government and celebrities sleeping with underage girls. And are you a good person? And should you get into heaven because of it? Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5-11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
I'm your host, Chad Davidson of 5-11 News. I want to welcome you back. This is a special, special episode. I am in Mexico, and I want to just say praise God for you guys who were able to share with some time with me yesterday on the Good Fight Ministries page, because I was able to share a small teaching for the local Ventura County Rescue Mission. And it was pretty awesome to be able to share and to see you guys on there. And you guys are a great encouragement. And it's tough not being able to see those guys. But one of the awesome things is we've been out here in Mexico doing some really, really awesome work. And I want to go over a little bit about that work that we've been doing here so you guys can hear about it. But I also don't want to bury too many of the leads, because the fact is that we are going to be showing you guys some of the work. We actually did an entire hour-long episode. We're calling it the Mexican Special out here with Pastor Joe, with Jonathan Ball, the pastor here of Blessed Hope Ensenada, and then myself as well. So I am really excited for you guys to see some of the work we've been doing. And also, one of the cool things we did is while we were building a church, as well as the house for the pastor, and this is the fourth house that we've actually had a chance to build down here, while we were doing all that, Joe and I and Nico, we actually snuck off with a translator and went out and shared the gospel. And some of the stories are pretty awesome, in all honesty, because we went out. Not only did we try to share with some guys just sitting there, shoe shiners and a couple of people, but you're going to get to see a little bit of the footage. We saw a group of young men and women sitting there actually doing a job, and we ended up going out over there and saying, hey, let's do a little open air just to them. And we started talking to them about the gospel, and I'll get into that a little bit later when I answer that question for you concerning you, if you're listening to the show, whether or not you're a good person. And one of the easy ways, I hope this can be a practical teaching today, of how do we go about sharing the gospel? How do we go around telling people the good news? And should we tell them the bad news first before we give them the good news? And I think that would be something that is really, really important for us to do. And when it comes to what's going on right now in the world, some of the, let's call it the craziness that's going on in the world, a lot of people are wondering, hey, what's going on with this Jeffrey Epstein bit? They figured when he got suicided there in the jail cell that maybe, hey, some of these disgusting people like Prince Andrew and also the guys like, hey, Bill Clinton, who we exposed over 20 times going to Epstein Island, doing these wicked things on our videos months before many people had even heard who Jeffrey Epstein was, 6 months before any of the reports out or that he was arrested or anything, we had already come out with a video, extensive video, and I'll tell you a little bit of the background about that. We had worked on that project specifically because we thought in 2016, we thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be elected president. So we wanted to expose who we thought would be the sitting president at the time. And we wanted to expose the fact that she's into witchcraft, that she's into necromancy. She, you know, thinks she's talking to Franklin Delano Roosevelt's wife, Eleanor Roosevelt, and has messages that she needs to give. And guys, this is some of the stuff that's wicked. And then a lot of the stuff that came out in the WikiLeaks drop and the emails about spirit cooking. I mean, there was a whole gambit that we were going to dig into so you guys could really see how wicked she truly is as a person. And one of the big things that has been interesting, because it's somewhat of a as you, I guess, as you can call it, a meme phenomena, a really popular, you know, memeology all over the internet, a popular talking point about the fact that Jeffrey Epstein, this guy who literally had an entire island dedicated to wicked sexual acts, he had a plane called the Lolita Express, literally pointing to of a young man sleeping with young girls and having a bed on it so the people he was traveling with to that island could sleep with underage girls and pedophilia. And guys, if you think that sex trafficking is not going on, you have the blinders on. You just simply do. You, if you don't realize and you haven't, I just encourage you, get involved with a ministry. At least donate, give some money, something to ministries that are fighting against sex trafficking. I know we have one that we work with here in Simi Valley called Forever Found, and we've gone to these dinners and talked with some of the girls who've been sex trafficked, and we've also been involved in some of the ministries. Beauty for Ashes, another ministry that we've worked with, that what they do is they will take these ladies that were involved in sex trafficking, that they had them addicted to drugs at the age of 11, 12, 13 years old, and they will take them and they will teach them an occupation, one of them, and they'll help to show them how to make different trinkets and gadgets and purses and things like that, and they'll use those to help, you know, hopefully get them some sort of economic status so they can have a job and kind of work. And so there are some wonderful ministries out there that you can get behind. And guys, the fact is there are more, not per capita, I guess, if you think about it, in the time not long right after Jesus, the time the apostles were around, that a lot of historians estimate that there were more slaves than there were free men. Now, it's not the slavery, obviously, that we talk about and deal with that happened in the transatlantic slave trade here in America. So it was a little different. But nonetheless, the fact is that today, there are more slaves in the world than there ever has been before. And much of that has to do with the sex trafficking that goes on. And one of the things that takes place, and I got to be honest with you, when it comes to the wickedness that we see, when it comes to all this disgusting thing, the fact is it's hard to make sure that, just as it warns us in Matthew chapter 24, to not let our hearts wax cold, to not let our hearts turn cold and turn wicked as well, where we start hating the people, even though this is all something that hopefully, when you do see this wickedness, that it helps you to recognize, that it truly helps you to recognize the darkness of sin, that it helps you to recognize how wicked and how horrible. And in my personal estimation, when it comes to looking at this sinfulness, looking at the wickedness that takes place in the world, the one big thing that it does is recognize very, very clearly how powerful, how awesome and how amazing, and once again, how powerful the sacrifice of Jesus Christ had to be to pay for those sins, those wicked acts. And yes, as much as it pains me and it hurts me and I look at it and it disgusts me, and justice should be brought upon them, we should seek justice. We should walk humbly with our God, and we should want justice and righteousness. And if you like scales that are not properly weighted, and you like being a shyster, that's an abomination before the Lord. We need proper measurements and proper measures, and make sure we're weighing everything in proper balance. But the fact is that we recognize this wickedness, and we still know that God still died for that sex trafficker as well, for the one being sex trafficked and the sex trafficker. And we want them to repent and turn to Jesus. In fact, it was Paul himself who said, for this reason, he was saved, so that basically every single one of us, each and every one of us, could know we have a chance of salvation if God would have saved the one who they threw their tunics, they threw their clothes down at his feet so they could stone Stephen harder. You know, just remember that. But with all that said, the fact is that Ghislaine Maxwell, his good old ex-girlfriend, Epstein's ex-girlfriend and friend, supposedly she's saying that she has film of powerful people having sex with underage girls. guys, what are we going to do if maybe you have some political person that you like? Maybe we didn't even play the clip of Alan Dershowitz saying very clearly that, hey, if you say you don't want to get this COVID-19 vaccine, we can literally grab you, take you in the doctor's office against your will and slam a needle in your arm. And Alan Dershowitz, guess who's he? Oh, he doesn't mind going on the Lolita Express. Oh, guess what? Bill Clinton doesn't mind going on the Lolita Express. How about all these other celebrities that got involved going? How about Prince Andrew? What's going on with this guy? I mean, just put these things into perspective. I want you to think about them because, hey, maybe you're going to find out about somebody that you like politically. Maybe you're going to find out about some actor you like. Are you still going to be able to watch his films? Are you still going to be able to listen to his music? That was something that I know a lot of people deal with, and sadly, they've pushed it aside now for years. But if you look back at the whole Michael Jackson episode, and I'm going to tell you this, guys, one of the things that really bothers me with how long we've been involved in this ministry and the emails that we get is that a lot of times you guys can fall into these pit holes because you like the artist, whether it's, I'm telling you right now, Michael Jackson, and yes, I am going to mention names that we've done different articles or videos on, and every one of these guys, we have gotten emails, comments, and I'm saying some of them are very angry, and all of them say something very, very similar. Michael Jackson, Prince, Bennington, who from Linkin Park, Chris Cornell, every single one of them who died, many of which are either drugs or suicide, every single one of them, we got emails, at least one or two, hey, they were just about to expose this pedophile ring, and that's why they were killed. Not that they were wicked, disgusting people themselves, not that they were drug addicts, not that Linkin Park's own friends talked about his demons were the things that helped him write music, not that Michael Jackson was, you know, bathing in pig's blood and trying to put curses upon Steven Spielberg and others. And when we look at these things, guys, and recognize the wickedness behind it, are you still able to sit there and say, I can push that aside and still be entertained by it? Are you still able to say, this person is a wicked person, this person is a pedophile, and yes, I don't care what anyone says, go look at the court documents, and I would also put the blame as much on the children as I do on the pedophile who is practicing his wickedness upon the children when it comes to Michael Jackson. That man was a pedophile. There's no doubt about it. I won't even utter some of the things from going through what was opened up during that court case and some of the wicked, disgusting things were involved. And you have to ask yourself, can I be involved and align with someone that is involved in this disgusting, disgusting thing? And also, if they're still alive, remember, we're not Catholics. We're not praying for the dead and asking God to let them out of purgatory. And that's a little bit about what we're going to be talking about for a lot of this episode. But we're not Catholics in the sense that we're going to pray for these dead people. What we are believers who believe that, guess what? You have one shot at this. The Bible is very, very clear. You die and you are judged. That's it. You get one shot. You don't get to keep going. There's no reincarnation. There's no cleansing off of venial sins in purgatory because Jesus died once and for all. That's why he cried out to Tetelestai, paid in full. That's my King. That's my Savior. And the fact is that we as believers, we need to grow in a love for God's word. We need to recognize we are not good. It is only Christ who is good. Jesus did say very clearly, good. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. God alone is good. And just so you know, that text is not a proof text for Islam, not whatsoever. That text is a proof text for Jesus being actually good. Jesus saying, yes, there's a reason you're calling me good. And that is because I am the one who is good, because Jesus is God, and it took the blood of God to purchase the church. That's exactly what it says in Acts 20:28, that he purchased the church with his own blood. He purchased the church with his own blood. We have been bought with a price. Now we glorify God with our body. And something we've been going over a lot, because you guys may not know this, and it's really cool to be able to talk to you a little bit about the culture down here in Mexico while I'm here. And when it comes to sharing the gospel, I'm just going to encourage you guys, hey, if you listen to 511 News and you've been a believer for any amount of time, make sure you're a believer, but we would love to take you on a trip down here and get you guys involved in sharing the gospel and helping build the church down here in Ensenada, Mexico. We are really, really excited about what's going on here, the amount of people that are coming to Christ. We had another person last night during a service at Jonathan's, a house that we built 2 years ago with our own hands. We were actually having a service there. Pastor Joe Schimmel gave a message, and so did Jonathan, a short message right after. And the things that he was talking about, man, it was so awesome, because the Lord knew exactly who was there. And I believe Pastor Jonathan and Joe are both men of prayer that ask and plead for God to give them exactly what they're supposed to be teaching on. And it was so cool, because one of the ladies there and her husband, not her husband, I'm sorry, that makes the whole point of this story, but one of the ladies there and the person she's living with, they were very convicted by the message. And I want to let you know this, I've been to Uganda, Africa as well, and this is very common there, and it is a big stronghold. Sexual sin is a huge, huge stronghold to keep people from the gospel of the kingdom, especially in more less affluent areas, in places like Mexico and places like Africa. I know in Africa, a lot of times we'd ask, like, why aren't you guys married? You've had three kids, man. You need to repent. And a lot of times they have excuses, you know, they are this, that, and the other. They have to, you know, pay a dowry, whatever it is, that they don't have enough money to marry. And sadly, that's not a good excuse before God. And so it's something that they deal with a lot here. And in fact, when we've built houses, we've had to literally say, hey, we are not going to build a house for fornication down there. It's not a light of the gospel to say, hey, let's build a house so you can fornicate in it, so you can sin against God inside of this house. I'm not going to say I'm doing the ministry of God so I can build pagan temples. I'm not going to say I'm doing the ministry of God because I'm going down to Mexico and building a house for somebody to fornicate in. I'm absolutely, positively not going to do that. And we have come down and had to change the people whose house we are building just a couple weeks before we're about to build, simply because we said we would not. Why did you guys not tell us that they are not married? We are not going to build this. And it's very, very important to us, because we want to uphold the scripture. We want to uphold the standard of God's word and his character. And we're not a good witness when we're helping people in their sin. And so this couple visited the church last night. And afterwards, Pastor Jonathan and his wife gave the man and the couple that lives together, gave them a ride home, shared with them, and then got waved down. And they came up, and Jonathan had mentioned, you know, if anyone needed to get baptized, you know, we got to make sure that you're a believer, and was just talking about that. And he goes up, and the lady waves him down with the guy she's living with. And they ask Jonathan, how we want to be baptized. We feel convicted. What do we need to do to get baptized? And Jonathan said, well, first you got to stop living with each other. You guys can't be living with each other and thinking everything's okay when you're not married. And he said that the man walked away right at that moment. But the woman stayed. And she said, I'm really convicted about this. I do need to figure this out. So you need to not be living with one another, or you need to get married, one or the other. And I told Jonathan tonight when he was telling us what took place, I said, Jonathan, that's really, really interesting you said that, because I myself, I remember I was working with a brother in the Lord, and he was involved in ministering to biker gangs. And he said that they would do a Bible study. And at that Bible study, you know, they'd always have a ton of people there and from biker gangs, and couples would come a lot. And after they were there for a little bit, he said, hey guys, I know that you're living together. I know you're sleeping together. We'd love to help you out. If you guys really want to follow Christ, because they said they did, what we will do, you know, we'll help you out, because their excuse was, hey, it's too expensive to live separately. So we live, that's why we live together. Because it's just too expensive to live separately, so we have to live together to put our money together to have a house. And he says, okay, how about this? You can come and live at my house, and they can live there. You don't pay rent. We'll even make your food for you. And he said he's offered this to 50 different couples over the last 20 years, You know how many have taken him up on it? Zero. Because what takes place is most people, sadly, they believe, and this is what breaks my heart, they believe that they may know better. They may know better than what God knows when it comes to how we work and how we are to follow him. Because the fact is the commandments we are given are not burdensome. The commandments that we are given by God are not to be a burden. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And one of the big things, and I'm hoping this is a seamless transition for you guys paying attention, but one of the big things here, sharing the gospel, I thought, hey, I got to get ready. The first time I came 4 years ago, I said, man, I got to get my Catholic apologetics down, right? Most of you guys would probably think you're going to Mexico, get ready to be able to give Catholic apologetics, which is one of the reasons I started with the question, are you a good person? But I believe this answers both the question of sinless perfectionism as well as Catholicism and other works-based religions. But nonetheless, I was completely inaccurate in my assessment of where we were in Ensenada in terms of how many the different groups, that the different cults of false religion that would be here. And one of the biggest ones out here in Ensenada that I found is, I would say second, or let's give them a 1, 2, 3. Third in the ranks of cultism is the Jehovah's Witness. You see a lot of Jehovah's Witness out here, more than Mormons, actually. I see a lot of Jehovah's Witness down here. So obviously having those verses ready for the deity of Christ, having those verses like Acts 20:28, John 20:28, ho kyrios mou, kai ho theos mou, knowing that Jesus, as Thomas called him, is my Lord and the Lord of me, ho kyrios mou, the Lord of me, ho theos mou, the God of me, knowing those verses, knowing verses like John 2:19 through 21, where Jesus specifically talks about the temple and that he would rise it up, knowing that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, clearly that scripture teaches that God, Jehovah, raised Jesus from the dead and even calls Jesus Jehovah in Romans 10, 13. But I digress. The other group would be the United Pentecostal movement. Now, this is different than Pentecostal Christians. There are plenty of Pentecostals who love Jesus. I may differ with them, especially when it comes to charismania. I may differ with them in their usage of the gifts, but I'm not saying that somebody who is a Pentecostal is a cult. Somebody involved in United Pentecostal is a cult. That's somebody who denies what the Bible specifically says in 1 John chapter 2, that anyone who denies the Father and the Son, that this person is Antichrist. So it isn't just simply a small thing to believe differently on the deity of Christ and who he is, and not just that he is God, but the fact that there is a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I believe if you go to the book of Acts, you will see very specifically, if you wanted any place to say there are three distinct persons within the Godhead, I believe the best place to go to, this is my personal opinion, is with Stephen at his stoning. But because what you have is the Father on his throne, Jesus sitting at the right hand, and Stephen filled with the Holy Spirit. So you have the three persons, and they don't just simply go into modes, as the UPC teach. They don't just simply form from one mode to the next mode to the next mode, as if Jesus, when he said that he must leave and go to the Father so that the Holy Spirit would come, that Jesus didn't mean that what he's going to do is go put on a different mask and become the Holy Spirit and become the Father and become, you know, this modalism. Okay, we want to get away from that. But one of the other things, and the reason why I say this is because they are also, as well as Catholicism, a works-based religion. They believe you have to do works to be saved. They believe you have to speak in tongues to be saved. When Paul was very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not all speak in tongues, do they? So obviously right there, I can throw that doctrine out and flush it down the toilet. But also you have to recognize that our good works are as filthy rags before God. Those are the good ones. I don't even want to know how stinky and nasty our bad ones are, right? And the fact is that when we look at the law, we recognize that the law is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. And that's what it says in the book of Galatians chapter 3, when Paul is specifically addressing the Galatian heresy. And this is another plus religion heresy where something is added to the gospel. Because Paul had already preached to the churches in Galatia, and he had given them clear instructions on what the gospel is. And when you go through, and I don't have a lot of time, I'm going to have to wrap it up as quick as possible, and I got to remind you guys to watch the last segment of our Bethel video this Friday, part 4. I'm really excited for you guys to check it out, so I want to wrap this up as quick as possible. But nonetheless, when you look at Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2, you have Paul affirming or confirming, saying it was from the Lord, his apostleship. And he does this because he's going to show you this is why. Because God has called me, I know that I have given you a proper gospel, and you are being taken away for another gospel that's really no good news at all. You're being added something to the gospel, which is taking away from what the true gospel of Jesus Christ is. When you say, yes, Jesus is our Savior, we follow him, and then we do X, Y, Z, it doesn't matter if you only say X, circumcision, or only say, well, it's following Jesus plus keeping the Sabbath. It's following Jesus plus the dietary laws. It's following Jesus plus this. When you add to anything other than your faith in Jesus Christ, you are part of a plus religion, and it is dangerous. It is dangerous. And the fact is that the law, and Paul is so clear on this, guys, and why what I said was he wanted to make sure his apostleship from the start, from the very first verse going through in Galatians chapter 1, that he was not called to be an apostle by man, but from God himself. He makes that very clear. But even after that, he goes to the credible witness argument. And the credible witness were the very apostles, Peter specifically, and James, who he mentions in the beginning, and then the rest of the apostles, who he meets years later and says he had been preaching this gospel for 14 years and then came to them, preached the same gospel, very similar, I would guess, to 1 Corinthians 15, something he was preaching. This is the gospel that I preached to you, that I receive, which I deliver to you, that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was raised according to the scriptures on the third day. He died for your sins. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And then he says, and then he appeared to Peter, and he goes to the apostles and over 500 in Corinth, even some of which that were still alive at that time when he stated that to them. And guys, he said that he gave this gospel message back to them just to make sure he had not run in vain, he had not given a false gospel, and they added nothing. And he does this to point to the fact that this plus religion, this Galatian heresy, and remember, the churches of Galatia, there were many churches in that area that somebody was following up after Paul and giving a false gospel message. And guys, thinking that you can be good enough, when even if you do all that's been asked according to Jesus, even if you do all has been asked, that's all you've done is all that has been asked. You do not deserve heaven. So we need to recognize that. We need to say, wait a second, I am not a good person. When I check myself against the moral law, when I have it as a mirror and I look and see the reflection and you see the brokenness and you see the fact that you have sinned, you know, I don't need to ask people on the streets, have they ever told a lie? I ask them, how many lies have you told? Because the fact is they've all fallen short. And if they disagree, it's not disagreeing with me, it's disagreeing with the Word of God. So that's what we do. We bring them back to the law. We use it as the taskmaster, the schoolmaster. And guys, that wasn't just teacher. And that's sometimes a translation you get in Galatians chapter 3. But the fact is that it was a schoolmaster. And a lot of times it would be depicted with someone with a rod because they would make sure that kid was going to and from school. But ultimately, our teacher is Christ. And the law walks us directly to, hands us over to who we need, and that person is Jesus. Do not add anything to that. Share this gospel truth with anyone. And guys, if you ever want to go down to Mexico, just give me an email, chat@goodfight.org, and I'll try to set something up if I trust you enough and would like to hang out with you. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we'd love to have you there. Guys, get out there, share the gospel, love truth, and care about Jesus. God bless.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.